is the Scripture-Driven Church Broadcast, brought to you by Teaching the Word Ministries. The Church of Jesus Christ must be the Scripture-Driven Church, relying on God's inspired and inerrant Word as our sole authority and our infallible critic in every area of life and ministry. And now, here's author, Bible teacher, and Teaching the Word president, Dr. Paul Elliott, to introduce today's program.
Today's broadcast is the fourth in our series titled, Christianity versus Mormonism. As we begin today, let me briefly review what we have seen thus far. First of all, we have seen that Mormonism has become a threat, not only to those who are outside of Christ, not only a threat to keep unsaved people in the bondage of their sins. Mormonism has also become a clear and present danger to the evangelical church itself. There is a crying need for renewed discernment within the church concerning the vast differences, the life and death differences, between the cult of Mormonism and authentic biblical Christianity. And that is why we are presenting this series. Secondly, we have seen that Mormonism rejects the authority of the Bible. Mormonism adds to Holy Scripture, takes away from Holy Scripture, twists Holy Scripture, and denies Holy Scripture in order to propagate a man-made and very changeable body of false doctrines. And thirdly, we have also seen that Mormonism perverts the biblical doctrine of God the Father. We have seen that Mormonism replaces the God of the Bible with a pagan monstrosity, who they say was once a man. Let me say something very important as we continue today. In dealing with Mormons, you will find that it is very, very difficult to have a meaningful conversation about their theology. That is because they have redefined the meanings of all the major biblical terms so that they fit Mormon theology. If a Bible-believing Christian does not understand this, it is easy for you to think that when a Mormon uses a particular biblical term, he is using that term as the Bible defines it, when in fact a Mormon is not using these terms in the same way at all. The way to expose this fact about Mormonism, or any other false religion, is to ask essential questions, and that is what we are doing. And so today we are going to ask the next in our series of essential questions about Mormonism. The question is this: now that we have seen the monstrosity that Mormonism has put in place of God the Father, we must also ask, what does Mormonism teach about Jesus Christ? We shall see today that Mormon teachings about Jesus Christ are just as horrible as their teachings about God the Father. Mormonism also perverts the biblical doctrine of God the Son, Jesus Christ. Mormon teachings about Jesus Christ demonstrate that they do not believe in the Christ of the Bible. Like all cults that falsely claim to be Christian, Mormonism redefines the Bible's terminology. Nowhere is this more evident than in Mormonism's horrible disfigurement of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. They have invented a pagan substitute for the authentic Jesus. Now, as we begin to consider Mormon false teaching about Jesus, we need to understand a few additional points of Mormon false teaching about God the Father. In order to understand how they have invented a false Jesus, it is very important, first of all, to understand that Mormonism teaches the existence of both a being it calls the Father God and also a being it calls a Mother God. You heard me correctly. Mormonism teaches both a Father God and a Mother God. Mormon theologian Milton R. Hutter states it this way, and I quote, "The stupendous truth for the existence of a heavenly mother as well as a heavenly father became an established fact in Mormon theology," unquote. According to another Mormon writing called The Book of Abraham, the Mormon Father God and Mother God live together on or near a planet or star named Kolob. In fact, Mormonism teaches that this so-called Father God has many wives, not just one. They teach that this Father God came to earth with one of his wives, named Eve, to start the human race. In other words, Mormonism teaches that Adam and God are the same person. Dear friends, what a confused and evil theology this is. Now, let me point out that this hideous doctrine of a Father God and a Mother God became a central doctrine of the Mormon Church, even though no such doctrine appears in any of the four books that they call Scripture. This demonstrates once again that Mormonism has no settled, unchanging source of authority. Their teachings can change on the word of one man, one leader of the Church. The Mormon doctrine of a Father God and Mother God was invented out of thin air. It is nowhere to be found in any of the three books they have added to the Bible or in the authentic Word of God itself. And yet this doctrine of a Father God and Mother God is a key to understanding the false Mormon doctrine of the person they falsely call Jesus Christ. Here is the reason why. Mormonism teaches that this same so-called Father God, a God having many wives, also took Mary as a wife and fathered Jesus in the normal physical manner. In other words, dear friends, in Mormon theology there is no virgin birth, there is no pre-existent Christ, no God the Son from all eternity. But before we go further into the shocking details of Mormonism's pagan distortion of the birth of Jesus, let me remind you of the authentic biblical account of the incarnation of Christ. The doctrine of the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is an essential doctrine of the Christian faith. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14, God declares, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," which in the original language means God with us. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, the angel Gabriel announced the fulfillment of that prophecy to the Virgin Mary. We read in verse 34 that Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" Notice, dear friends, Mary from the beginning understood the miraculous nature of the doctrine of the virgin birth. And the angel Gabriel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Dear friends, turn with me, please, to Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 5. There we read this, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." When the Apostle Paul, under divine inspiration, speaks of Jesus being in the form of God and taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, the Holy Spirit is using words in the Greek that declare to us that when Jesus came into this world, he was not a new being, as the Mormons teach. He was not merely a man, as the Mormons teach. He was the eternal God, the second person of the Trinity. He came from heaven into the world in human form. Two natures in one body, unmixed, fully divine and fully human. He remained absolutely perfect, absolutely holy, because he did not have a human father who communicated to him the sin nature of Adam's fallen race. The words of Philippians chapter 2 declare to us that Jesus is God, has always been God, and will always be God. That is the force of the original Greek in the phrase, "being in the form of God," in verse 6, a continuous state. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 tells us that Jesus Christ, God the Son, existed before the universe was created. And verse 16 of Colossians chapter 1 tells us that he is the Creator God. Furthermore, Philippians chapter 2 tells us that Jesus did not in any sense empty himself of deity when he came into this world as an infant, grew to manhood, and went to the cross. Verse 7 tells us that Jesus took on the form of a servant. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 tells us that in Jesus Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead in a body. In these two statements, we have the full force of the incarnation of Jesus Christ, the fullness of the God of the universe contained in one human body, the glorious God veiled in human flesh. Philippians 2 declares to us that in taking on the form of a servant, Jesus voluntarily laid aside heavenly privileges and prerogatives in obedience to God the Father, but his deity was not changed or diminished in any way. Jesus was still the God of the universe while he was in this world. His deity remained intact when he took on the form of a servant. Now, in contrast, what does Mormonism teach about the birth of the person they call Jesus Christ? Mormonism teaches that a God, small g, who began as a sinful man, became the Father God, took Mary as a wife, and fathered Jesus in the normal human way. There was no virgin birth. The Holy Spirit was not involved. That is a plain denial of Scripture. And since Joseph was also Mary's husband, this makes Mary guilty of adultery and polygamy. And worse yet, Mormonism teaches that Jesus is the brother of Lucifer. It teaches that both Jesus and Lucifer were begotten in the same way by the act of this false God the Father having a physical relationship with one of his wives. According to Mormonism, Jesus was born to two beings who are both sinners. Of course, they admit that Mary was a sinner, but let me remind you that Mormons also teach that the being they call the Father God was a sinner. One of Mormonism's leading theologians, a man named Bruce McConkie, wrote this, and I quote, "The Father is a glorified, perfected, resurrected, exalted man who worked out his own salvation by obedience to the same laws he has given to us so that we may do the same," unquote. Dear friend, notice what Mormons teach about their Father God. They teach that he worked out his salvation. They teach that he was resurrected. Think about this for just a moment. Resurrection, first of all, means death. According to the authentic Word of God, death is the wages of sin. That makes the Mormon Father God a sinner. And in fact, Mormon teaching admits that their so-called Father God began as a sinful man. Mormonism teaches that their so-called Father God was saved by his own works. Now, Mormons will argue that if their Father God did sin, he does not now sin. But that is irrelevant. A God who sinned at all is not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible has always been perfect from all eternity. Psalm 90, verse 2 tells us that he always has been God and never was a mortal man. The God of the Bible is not an exalted man. But Mormon teaching gets even worse. Mormon leader Brigham Young, in a book called Journal of Discourses, stated this, and I quote, "When the Virgin Mary conceived the child Jesus, the Father had begotten him in his own likeness. He was not begotten by the Holy Ghost. And who was God the Father? He is the first of the human family. Jesus, our elder brother, was begotten in the flesh by the same character that was in the Garden of Eden, who is our Father in heaven." Now, exactly what did Brigham Young mean by this? Well, he makes it clear when he says this, and I'm quoting him again. "When our father Adam came into the Garden of Eden, he came into it with a celestial body and brought Eve, one of his wives, with him. He is our Father and our God." Brigham Young also says this, and I'm quoting him again, "The Father came himself instead of letting any other man do it." Note that, dear friend, any other man. The Mormon so-called Father God is merely an elevated man. And Brigham Young also said this, that the birth of Jesus, and I quote, "was as natural as are the births of our children. It was the result of natural action. Jesus Christ was begotten of his Father as we are of our fathers," end of quote. In other words, Adam and God are the same person according to Mormon theology, and Jesus is therefore a son of Adam. But what does Scripture say about the sons of Adam? Romans chapter 5 tells us that the entire human race was plunged into sin because of the sin of Adam. The entire human race bears Adam's sin nature. If Mormon theology was right, if Jesus were the son of Adam, it would mean first of all that God, who they say was Adam, sinned. And it would mean, secondly, that Jesus came into this world bearing the sin nature of Adam and the curse of death for that sin. Dear friends, do you see what an incredible monstrosity Mormon theology makes of the holy God of the Bible? Now, this was not only the teaching of Brigham Young in the 1800s. We also find this teaching reaffirmed over 100 years later in the writings of a Mormon leader named Ezra Taft Benson. Mr. Benson was the most well-known Mormon of his day. During the 1950s, he served as Secretary of Agriculture in the cabinet of President Dwight Eisenhower. Ezra Taft Benson was also a Mormon prophet. In other words, his theological pronouncements essentially had the authority of Scripture in the Mormon view. Ezra Taft Benson served as the president of the Mormon Church worldwide from 1985 to 1994. In 2003, the Mormon Church republished Mr. Benson's sermons and writings. In those writings, Mr. Benson reaffirmed what Brigham Young had falsely taught about Jesus Christ over 100 years earlier. Mormon prophet Benson said this, and I quote him now, "The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints proclaims that Jesus Christ is the Son of God in the most literal sense. The body in which he performed his mission in the flesh was sired by that same holy being we worship as God, our eternal Father." Unquote. Now, if you speak with a Mormon church member or a Mormon missionary, that person will probably deny that Mormon teaching is what it is. Mormons will deny that their religion teaches a pagan fiction concerning the nature of the birth of Jesus Christ. But if you confront them with Brigham Young's own statements from his Journal of Discourses and with the statements of a president and prophet of the Mormon Church over 100 years later, Mormons are forced to admit that this grotesque account of the incarnation of Christ is, in fact, the long-standing teaching of their church. And so Mormons are forced to admit the nature of the false Jesus they worship. Dear friends, Mormon teaching regarding the incarnation of Jesus Christ is utter blasphemy. Blasphemy of God the Father and blasphemy of God the Son. Mormon theology effectively rewrites the first chapter of Matthew to read like this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ happened in this way. A Father God, a God of flesh and bones, a God who began as a sinful man, a God who has many wives, came into the world and took a woman named Mary as one of his wives, impregnated her in the natural human way, and she bore a being who had never existed before, named Jesus. No, dear friends, that is not what God tells us. Let me remind you of the truth that Mormonism has no right to contradict. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, notice, before they came together, she was found with child, notice, of the Holy Spirit. And then verse 20. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, and then Matthew quotes the prophecy of the virgin birth of Christ from Isaiah chapter 7. "Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Dear friends, the false Mormon account of the incarnation of Jesus Christ is yet another blasphemy that they have brought forward from ancient pagan religions. the idea of a pagan male god coming to earth and having intercourse with a human woman in order to produce a child. The truth is that Mormons worship the type of false god that Scripture condemns in Romans chapter 1, verse 23. Truly they have, as the Apostle Paul wrote, changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. The Mormon Church's official name is Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but Christians must understand what that title really means. The Mormon Christ is a pagan monstrosity. Even the Mormon Church's name is a falsehood and a blasphemy. Dear friends, Mormon theology is blind to a central truth of God's eternal plan of salvation. That central truth is the necessity of the death of Christ, who is God from all eternity, as a sinless substitute for sinful human beings. 2 Corinthians 5:21 and other passages clearly teach that Jesus knew no sin and did nothing worthy of death. He lived a perfect life. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, and he did not have a human father because he could not be the perfect substitute for sinners if he inherited Adam's sin nature. But Mormonism openly denies the virgin birth of Christ, and Mormonism teaches that the one they call God the Father was a man born with a sin nature, which logically makes their so-called Jesus a sinner as well. Dear friends, the sins that Jesus Christ paid for on the cross were not his own. He did not have to work out his salvation like the so-called God of Mormonism. Jesus lived the perfect life that we could not live, and he died the death that we deserve to die in order to pay the penalty for our sins which we deserve to pay. Jesus' death was not a down payment for sins, as Mormonism teaches. We do not add our works to Christ's death, as Mormonism teaches. Jesus shouted from the cross, "It is finished." And in the Greek of the New Testament, that phrase is one word, tetelestai, which means paid in full. Once again, the words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 sound a warning to us. Let me read those words for us once again. 2 Corinthians 6, beginning at verse 14. "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial, with Satan? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God." We could say much more about these things, but our time today has come to an end. On our next broadcast, the Lord willing, we are going to take up two additional questions about Mormonism. What does Mormonism teach about the Holy Spirit? And what does Mormonism teach about the Trinity? I hope you will join us.
Here once again is Dr. Paul Elliott with some closing comments.
Friends, today's broadcast is part 4 of our series titled Christianity versus Mormonism. We're making this entire series of messages available on MP3 CD, and we would be happy to send a copy to you. Here's how to receive your free copy of Christianity versus Mormonism on MP3 CD. Listeners in North America can call us toll-free 24 hours a day at 888-804-9655. Once again, our toll-free number for listeners in North America is 888-804-9655. You can also request your free copy of Christianity versus Mormonism on MP3 CD by visiting our website, teachingtheword.org. Just click the contact link on our homepage and let us know that you would like to receive this resource. Once again, to request your copy of Christianity versus Mormonism on MP3 CD, you can go to our website, teachingtheword.org, and click the contact link on our homepage. Or you can write to us at Teaching the Word Ministries, Box 2533, Westminster, Maryland, 21158, USA. Once again, our mailing address is Teaching the Word Ministries, Box 2533, Westminster, Maryland, 21158, USA. Thanks for listening today. Until next time, may God richly bless your personal study of His inspired, infallible, and inerrant Word.
This weekly program, The Scripture-Driven Church, is brought to you by the faithful friends and supporters of Teaching the Word Ministries.